Morning, Rabbi Yisrael, Gemar Tov to everybody who's here and all the listeners. This is Anna Shnaskul of Yeshua for everybody. It's a bit upsetting that yesterday I opened my machzah and one of the names inside was Yosef Dov Ben Chayla for Refuah Shleima. And unfortunately, Yosef Dov is not with us, but he's getting the schar for this year. He's getting the schar for us coming together every day. Yeah. He gets schar in Gan Eden, which is mounting up all the time. And so Magialo, yeah, he deserves it. So, did anybody say Tachnu this morning? Nope. Did anyone say Tachnu this morning? Chas v'sholom, exactly. Yeah, the question is, why not? Why didn't we say Tachnu this morning? Well, what's the Yontif in house? So you say Yisrochak of Yom Kippur?
And it's the Yontif this week.
And it's the Yontif next week. Yeah, Yontif is next week on Tuesday. So why are we not saying Tachnu? Okay, so we didn't say Tachnu today. Maybe you'll say Yisrochak Yom Kippur. What about Sunday morning? Yeah, what about Sunday morning? You'll say to me, Monday morning is already Erev Yontif. Okay, but on Erev Yontif normally we do say Tachnu. We said, yeah, but what's the reason why? There are a number of halachas. I haven't got very long, but I just want to tell you the Gabba this Shabbos. So the Gabba this Shabbos, tomorrow we don't say Avarachmim. After Yukum Purkom, we don't say Avarachmim. Tomorrow there is no Tzidkos. What 4 days? There are 4 days between Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot. So what's the celebration that we're not saying Tachnun? What? Oh, you got it. Yeah. So Dr. Harris knows his onions. Yeah, or his medication. Yeah. So the reason is because 2,855 years ago, Shlomo HaMelech completed the building of the first Beis Hamikdash, and he made a Yontif of 2 weeks. 7 days starting, he started 2 weeks starting on the 8th of Tishri. On the 8th of Tishri, he started 7 days up to Yontif, which was Sukkot, and then the 7 days of Sukkot were coiled together, one long Yontif, a two-week, 14-day celebration of the Chanukah Zabayis of the first Beis Hamikdash. And therefore, we commemorate that, and therefore in these days we don't say Tachnun and various other halachas that we'll be dealing with over the next couple of days as a zecher. So you'll ask me the question, or I ask myself the question, in that case, why didn't we already stop saying Tachnun on the 8th of Tishri? Yeah, on the 8th of Tishri, 2 days before Yom Kippur? And the answer is, I don't know. I mean, it's something that occurred to me when I was preparing the Shia. Yeah, something for us to think about. But if that's the reason, the Baal Hetev on the Shulchan Aruch brings that down as the reason why we've got these various halachas relating to Asman Simcha. Yeah?
Maybe they're not interrupting the Slichas, right? Because that's
both. Yeah, there's a bit of a contradiction between the Yontav and the Slichas. Maybe it's a serious period. I say it's to make Shuvah, we want to say Tachnun. Could be, I don't know. So just to go through this Shabbos, because of these halachas that we regarded as a bit of a yontif, therefore, first of all, we don't say Avarachmin tomorrow morning, then tomorrow afternoon we do not say Tzidkoscha in Mincha, and also, the Mishnah Berurah brings down that we don't say Veloy Prokim Ovis, we don't say Pirkei Ovis. Yeah, we could have extended the Pirkei Ovis till now, yeah, and said Pirkei Avos, but we say neither Pirkei Avos nor Shir HaMaalos. So tomorrow afternoon, pretty much, yeah, you've got no Tzikoscha, no Shir HaMaalos, no Pirkei Avos, no Bochi Nafshi, yeah, no Bochi Nafshi. So those are the halachas which relate tomorrow. And later there are other halachas which relate to Sunday, and other halachas which relate to Monday morning because of Kriyas HaTorah, which we will discuss in Mirat Hashem on Sunday. But just to remember, the next 4 days, the Simcha of the next 4 days is the Simcha of Binyan Beis Hamikdash HaRishon, and commemorate that we are going to keep various halachas which relate to Asman Simcha.
Larger Editor Away, Northwest London, Friday, Yisrochag, Yud Aleph Tishri, 3rd of October, Rabbi Binyamin Shodi Shlita, Hilchos Arba Minim, Part 2 of 2. This week's Torah with Responsible Nishmas, Yosef Dov Ben Reb Shimon Michal Tzvi Itzkovitz, Zechron Avrocha, devoted founder and organizer of Start Your Day, the Torah Way, London, Golders Green. Leschus Hashvim Ba'achayelim Ba'milchamosh Yachsul Vatzem L'Shalom Bim Heiro.
Amen.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
A good yontif as well. It's an unbelievable feeling to, after Yom Kippur, I almost feel that we've been through a feeling of triumph, of victory, which the Medrash Taka tells us that we've proven that we deserved, Baruch Hashem, to, you know, be the Adam HaNivcha, that we've killed off the Yetzer Hara. And with that tremendous simcha, we take with us the tremendous chus of the two gewaldige mitzvahs, Sukkah and Arba Minim. Strange mitzvahs, but only a yid can fully appreciate these mitzvahs. And it's a great cover to be here this morning to share with you further halachas relevant to Arba Minim. Just first of all, I was asked a question about the nail. How big is this nail that the niktam of your lulav? And I don't know how big your nails are, and I don't know how big Ricky Rega's nails were. But we're not talking about a very big shear here. We're talking about 1 or 2 millimeters maximum. To be in Gunson Mahuda, right at the top of your esrog, right at the top of your lulav, to just make sure that the two leaves are very, very close together and there's nothing snipped. It's a very, very tiny amount to be completely and utterly mahuda. Hadassim, the three leaves should be growing out of the same plane along the width of the branch, so that they look like they're on equal standing. There's a debate in the poskim what exactly practically this means. It's very, very hard to find exactly perfect hadassim, and that does cause us a potential issue of finding Mahuda ones. However, I'll tell you, Alach Lamaisa, a very geshmaka chiddush from Shmuel Vosner Zatzal, which really stands us in good stead looking for Arba Minim. He said was that if you pick up your hadas, you look at it from arm's reach, does it look like the three are coming from one stem? A majority of the time the answer will be yes. Shmuel Vosner said, chiddush, that's enough. You don't have to go looking closer, and nothing else matters. So yes, there might be cholkim, but for the layman, for sure, you know, that's the lechatchila kim of the mitzvah would be by doing that. So that takes away a lot of stress, having to pick up about 25 packets that you've decided and have convinced yourself that you have a kosher hadassim. But do please make sure that they're not snipped to the top. Very important that hadassim, the leaves, the twig can be snipped, but the leaf, the top leaves, mustn't be snipped. So that you should look carefully at, although it will be rather obvious. Sorry?
Yeah. Huh? Cut at the top.
Correct, cut, yeah. Yeah.
See how? Top leaves.
Top leaves. Down.
Almost just the two,
that's right.
Three top ones.
That's right. Yeah. And you have to also make sure that the majority of your hadas is nicely covered, and please make sure please don't take out your hadassim and aravos every day on Chol HaMoed and start putting it back in the fridge. It's a very big mistake people make. One has to be very, very careful that these don't come off. And the best eitzah is to actually either put the entire lulav in a vase with water and just don't touch it b'chlal, or take the kashikol out, meaning take the lulav out and put the whole bundle in the fridge, but do not take out your dasna rovers daily. It really does puzzle them the more leaves you take out, and there's just no need for it.
How much water are you supposed to put in the bag? So it can wet, you mean?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a lot. Yeah, you could do that. There's different tachbulos that you can do. I'll leave it to you to decide. You know, there's no halachic. I'm just giving you, giving you a bit piece of advice in case you need to hear it. Do not take out your dasna rovers
once they're in. You don't mean the whole lulav.
No. Either you put the entire lulav in a vase, and it should be full enough, not obviously tons, but enough that there's a good enough moisture. Or you take the lulav part out, and the keshikul, the holder with the dasna rovers, is still inside, and that part you put in the fridge with a bit of water. Sorry?
Uh-huh.
How much do you have in your fridge already? Are you eating that much of the sickest?
No,
yeah.
There's no space.
Sorry, what?
I'm rolling in the
wet cloth.
Wet cloth, yeah, you could do that. There's no, as I said, there's no halachic ramifications to this. Your aravos.
Is it because if you leave it drying after the last few days, the leaves are gone.
Right. The aravos, you should make sure that they're not serrated. There should be a smooth edge. The stem
You make sure that they're sharper at the end of the leaves. The stems should be red or at least not white. You make sure they're not dry. And they have to cover them the majority of that rava, which again, to find that rava in itself is easy. It's once you bought it, be careful not to dismantle it too much. So that's the hadasim and the ravas in a nutshell. The esrog, I'm not here to tell you where to buy your esrog from. I'm not here to tell you which country to buy it from. I'm here just to point out that there is a shaila of murkav. Many esrogim potentially have shailas on them, but the general simonim are that if it's bumpy, it's vaday not a lemon. If the stem sticks out from the bottom of the esrog and it like sinks in a little bit, that's also usually a simon that it's an esrog. Esrog is not too juicy inside, however you wouldn't necessarily know that before you cut it open, so please don't cut it. There's actually another fascinating simon that Mishnah Berurah tells us, that the pips of an esrog are to the width, but a lemon is going upwards. Again, it's not a simon that you can prove before Yontav, so it doesn't really help us. You know, be Makai in the mitzvah, it just gives us a bit of a genes kind of interesting phenomena. The Chasam Sofer warns us not to rely on the simonim, but rather to buy from a moicher who's a Yirei Shamayim, who you can trust. He got it from, just because it says on the box, is not necessarily a proof, although you hope it is a proof. To buy from a moicher who you trust, is Yirei Shamayim, who can give you accurate information, would obviously be advisable. If you got some random guy who you don't know, just because he tells you that it's a Chaznish Asterik, I can't verify that that is the case.
What's the expression Zon? Zon Chaznish or something like that?
It just means they grew there.
It sounds like it's benefiting from it or something.
I don't know.
No? Okay. Find it on the boxes.
Yeah, you do. Some of them. Don't know what it means. Okay, so the halachas that you should be looking out for, it's a hiddle for it to have a nice giddle, for the pitim and the ukkots, the stem and the pitim, to be in line with each other. That is a hiddle. It's a hiddle for it to be like have a nice round shape. I showed a very long, a very tall esrog to a certain rav, and he said to me, that's not an esrog. It looked everything good about it. It was just very, very long and tall. And I was told that that's not what an esrog should look like. An esrog should look more lemon-like and a bit roundish.
Not an esrog means it's really not an esrog.
I don't know. I then said to him, so what is it instead? Yeah. And to which he replied to me, Ichreisnish, oba esnishkin esrog.
Still don't know.
Yeah, we don't need to know. He was trying to say that it's a lack of hiddur for it to look like that. The main area of the
esrog, but it's not a hudra, maybe.
Correct. The main part of the esrog which affects us is the chitam upwards, is the top third where it begins to slope upwards. That is the main place where you need to worry about. The things you need to look out for is a black or very white one single spot, which is nika and nira la'ayin, to now describe what that means. So such a thing would be possible. So there's two understandings of what it means. The mabit in chelek gimel simon choftes, Shaius of Chivas, tells us there has to be Nira La'ayin, the Prima Godim, Bukhari Yaakov, the all Paschal like him. However, there's a machlaik is how to interpret the words of the Mabit. The simple understanding of the Mabit is that if you hold it at arm's reach and you notice a black spot, the white spots are very, very rare. A cream wouldn't be possible, so black is more common, although it might be brown, to which case it would be fine anyway. So you might have to use a magnifying glass or ask a Shaya. If you lift out the esrog and arm's reach, you can tell there's a black spot there. It's considered a lack of hiddur, and the mabit holds as possible. The Chazanish said that the mabit doesn't mean that. The mabit means something more than that. The mabit means, even if I look at it closely, and then I notice it, but akoponim, I notice it straight away. I don't have to go looking, where is it? I've lost it, where is it? Remind me where it is again. That would be fine. Nirlai means that whenever you notice it, it's very off-putting, and it like stares you in the face. It's glaring. But Chaznish held that it doesn't have to be from arm's reach. So according to Chaznish, you end up having to look a bit more closer. However, the general minhag ha'olam unless you want to be particularly firm, which you're welcome to be, but the general minhag ha'olam is to not follow the Chazon Ish. Why are people looking at Esrogim so carefully? The answer is, there's a halach of chaser. Halach of chaser is potentially quite complicated, because you really need shimush to be able to prove when it's chaser, when it's not chaser. Halach al-maisa we take on, that any part of your Esrog that's missing, so there's a number of layers to an Esrog, and the Mishnah Berurah holds the very, very finest. There's a very, like, it's like a, he calls it a glid, the very, very outer layer, which has very little mamoshes to it. It's extremely thin. He holds, if that isn't there, that's not chaser. You know, it's got to be a bit more than that. Not very thick. So that's why you need to ask a shayla.
It's very minor.
If there's a little hole in it, then you run into problems. So that is the main reason why people who know what they're doing are looking at the esrog so carefully. The best way of doing it is to shine it in a light. So it really lights up the whole esrog. You turn it round. And by the way, when I say chaser, I don't mean just on the chaitim area. I mean everywhere. The entire esrog, it's called lekicha tama. The entire esrog has to be absolutely complete. And obviously there are stodim lahakel in certain cases which you need a rav to verify, but derech klal as a hiddu, we don't want anything missing. So if you have a shayla, so a leaf mark would be fine. That's not a problem, because that's a normal thing to happen as a result of the normal development and growth of the esrog. That's not a problem. We're talking about, and there's either a bit of the skin missing, or there's a bit of a hole there. I've seen many esrogim, and they all look a bit different, and they all have pitfalls. And very, very often one can pick up an esrog and think, it looks fine, looks lovely, but it's actually not. So if you're not sure, then please do ask. Generally speaking, you can tell when there is a shayla, right? If you turn it around and rotate it, you can usually see when it looks like the whole thing is there. It's not so difficult to notice the suffix. It's when you have the suffix and knowing, is it actually still okay? That's when you have a shayla.
Yeah. Why is the psul of chaser on the whole of the esrog, and the psul of black dots only at the top?
Very good. It's a very good question. The answer is that a esrog which is chaser is not an esrog. Therefore, that affects the whole esrog. The fact that a spot on the chaitim is psul is not because it's not an esrog, it's because it's not hodah. Now, hodah, we're more machmir on the area that catches your eye straight away. When you pick up an esrog, you do not look at the bottom part first. You look at the top part, particularly because that's where the pitum is. Everyone's very busy with the pitum. We'll discuss pitum in a second, right? So that's the reason. There's a chelik between hodah and chaser. Now,
the black spot is possible.
The top is,
yes.
The reason we look at the top is just because that's how we've seen everybody else looking first.
Okay. Yeah. Chaser is possible, only very important.
You said not hodl.
Sorry?
You said it's not hodl.
If there's a spot, yeah, but hodl is possible by lulav. Hodl is possible by lulav.
And
esrog. All arbaminim. The Torah writes, creates hodl. Is to tell us the hodl is ma'akiv min ha'Torah in arbaminim. Usually we say hid a mitzvah is just a nice thing to do. Arbaminim, it's mamish ma'akiv.
It doesn't look nice, that. You said the black spot, but it hasn't got a nice look, like the shape's funny or something.
So in halacha, it's written that isn't considered a lack of hiddah to the extent that it's possible. Yeah, you're right, there's levels. You're making a good point. There's levels of hiddah.
It's not aesthetic.
Right. So, one black spot below your chaitim is fine, two black spots below your chaitim is possible. If the two black spots, so it's only possible if there's one of the top third, because that's where you notice it more. If it's on the two sides, now it can be possible as long as it's covering the hekif, the roiv hekif, the roiv circumference of the esrog. The way you do it is you lift up your esrog. I've got a black spot here and a black spot here. Do I see them together when I look at the esrog like this? If the answer is yes, you have a problem. If the answer is no, you're fine. So just because it has two spots, these two spots have to affect the roiv circumference of the esrog.
That's from the chaitim upwards or below the chaitim?
So that's below the chaitim. Above the chaitim, you've got a psul immediately, as long as the black spot is nika and noticeable at obvious arm's reach. Your pitum. This is a common mistake that people make, that people think that if I don't have a pitum on the top of my esrog is possible. And that isn't true. It isn't true. First of all, your esrog might not have a pitum on it at all. Every esrog has a pitum at the beginning of its growth. It just came off at some stage. The fact that it doesn't have a pitum in the shop doesn't make it possible. It's a matter of verifying how early it came off. And as long as it came off before it was detached, it's fine. The way to tell is the more it's sunken in, the earlier it came off.
No,
understand.
What did you say just now?
No, you said something wrong. You said
the more it's detached. No, if it comes off before it was detached from the tree.
Sorry,
there's a misunderstanding.
Yeah, trying to work out what detached was.
If the pitum detaches itself before the esrog comes off the tree, then there's no problem. The way to verify that is by seeing how sunken in the lack of pitum is. The more it's sunken in, the more deeper it is, the more of a siman it is that it came off very, very early. If one has a suffix, ask a shayla, but that is the general way of looking at
it. That makes it possible.
No. Well, yes, correct. I'll make one. Let's talk about that now. Let's go through read the shtavim one by one.
It's a chiddush, because I think we think that there are types of esrogim that grow without pitum.
No such thing. If you look at a video, check online, look at a video of the development of an esrog, every single one of them started with a pitum.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, they reach full size and then they fall off.
What? You're saying Italian ones don't have a pitum. You're saying they do.
From the beginning?
I believe they go.
I think the younger ones don't have a pitum.
Pass. I think if you investigate it, you'll see that when it started growing, it did grow with a pitum.
And when did it come off?
Maybe after 1 month, maybe after 2 months.
There's so many esrogim which like grouped on the tables without pitum.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's not a problem.
No, I know that, but you think that all of those just pitum fell off?
Yeah. Brother. Yeah? Sorry, it looks like I'm telling the item a big chiddush. Yeah.
It is. We thought there were two types of esrogim, those that grow with and those that grow out.
No such thing. When it says it's grown without, it means that they fell off at quite an early stage. That's all it means. Yeah. But it does not take away from the kashas of your esrog. The Bikur Yaakov, however, does tell us that it is a hiddu to buy an esrog with a pitum and with a shishantar. So there's two areas here. The pitum is the neck part, which is still the fruity part of the esrog. The Sheshanta is the crown. So people commonly call the crown the pitum. But halachically speaking, it's an incorrect definition. And really, that crown is called a Sheshanta. Okay, just as a stammer, as your dear Ba'oma.
What is it then exactly?
Sorry?
It's the brown flower on the top of the pitum.
Yeah, the crown.
On top of the pitum, yeah. That's not the pitum. That's what you're saying.
If some of the neck is missing, so Bismanenu, the way Esrogim grew, and the Kafachaim says that if you look in the Gedolei Achronim, he says it's clear that the Esrogim looked a bit different in those days. I'm not able to verify that, but the Kafachaim is the Kafachaim, so trusting him on that one. Basically, our life becomes a bit more difficult nowadays because all the necks of Esrogim is as much esrog dick as the actual body of the esrog itself. All it is gone slightly thinner. That's all it is. But it's still the exact same fruit esrog. Therefore, if there's any part of that neck missing, it's possible for the first 2 days of Yom Tov. Chaser is always only possible for the first 2 days. But don't buy such an esrog. Why would you buy such an esrog? Right? So that esrog is possible if there's any part of the neck missing. If just an element of the Sheshanta, the crown, is missing, but part of it is still there, and by the way, it's quite common to find such an esrog, then the Bikur Yaakov says there's no problem at all. Completely kosher l'chatzchila. The issue starts where you have your Sheshanta, your what we call the pitum, entirely missing, entirely off, and I know that it came off later, right? But my neck is still there. So that is a machlokes hapoiskim. It's not crystal clear what exactly is the Me'ikah HaDin, it's a machloikas, but based on the poiskim, what they say is that lechatchila, one should not be using such an esrog. So when you walk into the shop, you should not be looking for, or definitely not be looking for it. Even if you find such an esrog, you should put it down if that's what you notice. However, if that occurs during Yom Tov, then you can still make a bracha because First of all, you know, you're not going to be able to. You're going to have to rely on somebody else's esrog. You're going to have to wait for it. So for that, we say that you should definitely use it. But it's only begedah shas hadchak. It's not ideal, and therefore one should be looking in the shop to make sure that you should be looking carefully at that part. But it's not possible. If the ukut comes off, I'm not sure how common this is, but if the stem comes off, then halacha lemaisa we take on that the whole estrog part has to be filled in, meaning that obviously the ukut comes out of the estrog, right? So if the estrog is off, if the ukut is off, the stem comes off, but the actual internal part of the estrog is entirely covered, it's filled in, then it's fine. If there's a little bit of it missing, then it's a problem.
Usually it's one piece. The
ukut
is normally one piece.
So if it is and it's completely off, then and there's something missing from the body of the ashok, then you have a problem. That's how you verify that.
What about black dots on the tzavor, on the
so black dot on the dud, the neck, is the same as on the chaitim above. So therefore one will be possible. If it's just on the shishanta, just on the crown, it's okay. Because just on the crown is not considered to be the estrog itself, is the crown of the estrog. It's like an extension of the estrog.
How can you tell?
So that'll be okay. You can tell. If you look carefully, you can tell.
Well, on the top?
Yeah.
On the pitam,
yes?
On the crown of that,
yes?
Black dot?
Yes.
Why is on the shashanta not absorbed?
Because it's not really the estrog. It's like an extension to the estrog.
Why is it less estrog than estrog?
Because it's not the fruit. It's a crown. In halacha, it's not treated as exactly the same thing. So if you have a black dot just on there, then yes, I would say it's not 100% mehuda, because you could have got a nicer one, but it doesn't have the psul. It doesn't have the psul of a black spot. But again, whenever you have a suffix, you have to check it up. Last remaining minutes, I was asked and I was told that this is usually a Friday share, and therefore, well, sorry, it's always a Friday share, but I was told that it's a parasha share, and therefore we're going to do a hybrid, and share a wonderful Dvar Torah from the Ksav Sofer, which I'd like to tie into the Inyan D'Yoma. So the Torah tells us in Parashat Hazinu, "Vayoyim aleim simu levavchem lechol advarim asher noichi meid bochem hayoyim." Moshe Rabbeinu told Klal Yisrael, set your hearts to all the things which I am testifying about today. Says Rashi, Simu levavchem, tzorech adam shu einav v'liboi v'oznav v'chuvonim ledivrei Torah. A person should set his eyes, his heart, and his ears directed to the words of Torah. So on a simple level, this means literally hearing Torah. If a person hears a conversation of Torah and a person's not doing anything else, then
listen.
It sometimes bothers me when people learn with their chavrusa and they perk up to another conversation about a different sugya. What are you saying over there? I don't think that's what Rashi's referring to. Rashi's referring to somebody who's not learning Torah. If you are learning Torah, then on the contrary, you should be mechavonim to what you're doing now. Focus on what you're learning with your chavrusa now. In a way, it takes away from the covered of the Torah that you're learning right now if you perk up and want to hear a conversation about them. Why is the other sugya better than what you're learning now? You're still learning Torah. But if you're not, the Ksav Sofer takes this a completely step further, and he understands that what Chazal mean here, what Rashi means here, is not just mechavonim to hear words of Torah. It means that everything one does, and this is particularly relevant after we've been through a Yom Noraim on such a high madriga, we want to keep these madrigas with us. We want to stay on the highest step of the ladder. We have to remember, says the Ksav Sofer, that everything that we do with our day and with our life has to be mechavonim ledivrei Torah. Everything has to be directed l'shem shamayim. Everything has to be directed al pi Torah. When one eats, when one drinks, when one does his business, everything should be pure l'shem shamayim. And the mitzvah of sukkah teaches us this, because the Gemara tells us, k'shem shechal shamayim al chagiga, it says, chag hasukkah is tasalecha. Just like a korban is totally kadosh, so too your sukkah is totally kadosh, and the wood of the sukkah, you can't benefit from it the whole yontif. In Chol HaMoed, you wanted to start making a fire and you were stuck with wood, you'd have to go to the shop and you wouldn't be able to start dismantling your your sukkah and then building a new one. You don't have to do that. It's chala issa on the sukkah. So why is it called, what's a chagiga? Chagiga is a korma that you eat most of it. There's imurah and there's a few fats that you put on the mizbeach. And yet the Gemara tells us that the Torah is comparing it to chagiga. So Mepharshim explain that the Torah is teaching us that a sukkah is be'etzem gashmius. Everything about it is like your house. That's kedusha. That's holiness. Kedusha is something that is Torah. It's completely detached from the physical world. Sukkah, what you're doing it is completely physical. That's kedusha. The answer is yes. Like a chagiga, it's eaten. There's one element of it that is put on the mizbeach, but it's chal shem shamayim. The whole thing becomes a shtick korban, a shtick kedusha. So to your sukkah. Yes, there's only one part of it that it's just the schach, just the body of the sukkah itself, which is considered the korban. But everything you do in your sukkah is in gansen kadosh. And also day to day in one business, one should act in one's business with a munah and trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be mefarnes him, and therefore one should try to make sure one has a good enough kviyas itim la'Torah. There's one final pshat of the Ksav Sefer, which I think has relevance to the Arba Minim. He says, why does Rashi say Shu Einav V'oznav Mechavon Adira, your eyes and your ears? The Pozik says, Simon Levavchem, your heart to Torah. So my feelings. Why does Rashi bring in your eyes and your ears? Maradi Kasha. He says, Maradi Kataritz. He says, Rashi's teaching us that sometimes in life we think, I'll be fine. I've got Yetzara, don't worry. I'll sort it out when it comes to it. I won't. I'll daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'll be fine. I'll find Yetzara. And the Matthias says it doesn't work. What's the Eitza? How do we come up after such a Yom Kippur? What do we have to do to keep that Madriga? Says Rashi, in order for your lev to be in Gansan Sholim with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to put precautions in place. Your eyes and your ears have to be Mechavonim L'Divrei Torah, meaning you have to be careful where you look, careful what you listen to. Put a mishmaris in place, put a safeguarding in place to enable your feelings and your heart to become kuloi kadosh. And we know that the Arba Minim are corresponding to different areas of the body. Perhaps there's a message here that when we come off Yom Kippur, we come off the Ses Metshuva, we were supposed to say to ourselves, how can I remain on that highest rung of the ladder? It's not enough just to say, when the moment comes, I'll give the Yitzhara a push and he won't touch me with a bit of Siyata Shema. That's not good enough. We have to look at that Esrog, look at the Arba Minim and say, wow, what do they represent? They represent different elements of my body. I've got to use every fibre of my being to put precautions in place, make sure I go to the right places, make sure I have the right dedication, make sure I look at the right things, make sure I hear the right things. And only as a result of that, one is able to really live one's life, l'shem shemayim, which be zoicha, as in the schus of taking these gewaldige two mitzvahs and connecting our Yom Kippur to our sukkahs, which be zoicha to remain mechuvonim l'divrei Torah every day. Oh, good Yontif and good Shabbos.
Can I ask you again about the bag? Sorry, I've never done it before. As my cousin Ezra told me, the bag, you make it very wet. On Yontif, you can't make the bag wet again, can you? You can't put more water in there.
You can add water.